Continuing the teachings of Srimad Bhagavatam and the symptoms of Kali Yuga, a person will be judged unholy if he does not have money, and hypocrisy will be accepted as virtue. Marriage will be arranged simply by verbal agreement, and a person will think he is fit to appear in public if he is merely taken a bath. Again, two couplets, and before studying these symptoms, it's good to keep in mind that these symptoms of the age of Kali are not just something that's going on around us. They will go on inside of us if we are not meticulous in protecting ourselves from Kali Yuga by cultivating the mode of goodness, keeping very strict spiritual practices, specifically chanting Hare Krishna offenselessly. And if we do that, then yes, it'll be something that we'll observe in the world around us. Otherwise, it's something that we'll observe within us. As I was emphasizing yesterday, the propriety of being successful is to have a good job, a good education, and money. And this type of psychology is very prevalent within devotee circles, that you won't be a devotee, no harm, but don't be a fanatic and don't become a full-time devotee. You're better off being a good householder, being well-educated, having a good job, and making lots of money. And that's a much more balanced approach to spiritual life. And if you're very successful, well, then all that much more enhanced will be your spiritual life. And once again, Shukadev Goswami is emphasizing the same thing, so obviously emphasis is there when something really needs to be noted, and something is very, very prevalent. Fanaticism, I guess I use the word fanaticism, obsession with being well off, the obsession of wealth, more than in any other time before us or culture, the world is just obsessed with having money. We see even in the Western world, as far back as a century ago, people were satisfied if they had a home and food to eat. But this quest for success has come along with things like consumer items, advertising agencies, and the kind of brainwashing that we see in the world, that you must have all of these things, and if you don't have these things, you won't be happy, and if you don't have money, you're not going to be able to get these things. And in order to get money, you got to get an education, and you know, once you got an education, then you got to get a job, and by all means you have to steal, cheat, lie, lick your employees' shoes, anything, but you have to have money and then you'll be happy. So here it said someone's unholy, a sadhu. Sadhu refers to someone who's spiritually advanced, and asadhu means someone's actually unholy, or recognize someone's adherence to religion and religious principles if they have money. And if they don't have money, then they can't be very religious. And then there are religions whose theme it is that if you worship in this way, then you will get money. In other words, they equate religion with wealth. Worship Jesus Christ in this way, and Jesus Christ will give you money. And the more you're favored by Christ, the more money that you have. Same thing we see with Hindus, very, very money-oriented. They worship Lord Shiva, other deities, in order to get wealth. And for them, Sakama, Karma Yoga, they practice religious principles in order to fulfill their desires. And the next symptom is hypocrisy will be accepted as virtue. We see that the real concept of what religion is so lost that, as many of these symptoms indicate, people's adherence to just external rituals and formalities pass as real religiosity. And so we see that it goes to real extremes, where in the world that we live in, there are people who think that they're on a holy war, that they're empowered by God in order to kill, to maim, to destroy, to cause chaos on a global scale. And I think that this is religion, whereas any civilized person will recognize that nonviolence is an essential part of any religion, whatever religion that you have. But, of course, when people compromise nonviolence or the principle of ahimsa, in other words, that they want to apply it to humans and not to animals, then we'll see that in due course of time, others will neglect concern for the humans, and they'll kill them just as if they were animals. Why? Because mercy goes dampati vidhichu maya yavyavahariki, as described already earlier, is that the quality of mercy dissipates, and as it does, it is like a disease that spreads through the consciousness, and therefore people will not think twice about killing their own neighbor over a trifle or for trifling reasons. Svakiya eva chodhai, yes, and marriage will be arranged by verbal agreement. When I was still young, it was boys and girls didn't live together without being married. Only when you were married you did that, and if anyone did that, then it was scandalous. It was really a scandal. Nowadays, it's commonplace. Unfortunately, I have to admit that it takes place in Krishna consciousness movement. The boys and girls live together. They're not married. They live together. And then, of course, even marriage, which is repeatedly emphasized here by Shukadeva Goswami, because the stability of the marriage institution reflects the stability of society. So Kali's plan is to undermine marriage. Since people undertake associating with members of the opposite sex so whimsically, therefore they also discontinue such association equally whimsically. That which begins in passion ends in distress. The concept of being faithful. Well, here's a nice story which really emphasizes this concept of being faithful. It's almost unknown and unheard of, but I saw just on BBC the other day, and this was about a lady, the wife of an American soldier. And during the Korean War, which is 1953, which was 60 years ago, he went missing. Now, her husband had told him that if he falls in the war, that she should get remarried. But she didn't get remarried. And so there was a very, it was described how she, finally the North Korean government was able to locate and identify the remains of the soldier, and he was returned again to United States. And so she was there greeting the coffin and crying. And she was interviewed after 60 years. She never thought of remarrying. Here's my husband, whether for better or worse, to death do us part. And she said that my husband told me to remarry, but he's my husband. How could I remarry? Now, those type of values are really, really rare nowadays. In fact, this morning when I was giving class, I was on the same verse. I was pointing out how I saw, even within my mother and her sister, how much their sense of values and morals had changed. I mean, they were into their fifth generation. I'm in third. They were into the fifth generation, at least four, and came from a time when they were very, very conservative, real conservative values, and now they've become very, very liberal. The fact that family members cohabit without marriage, and anyway, so many things. Something that previously would have been a complete scandal, now is just, well, that's the way it is. So this is how values and traditions change. People may believe one thing now, but in due course of time, by the influence of Kali, they'll gradually accept any old thing. And a person will think he's fit to appear in public if he's merely taken a bath. It's an interesting one. Well, what's wrong with appearing in public if you've taken a bath? Nothing, provided that you're dressed. But in Vedic culture, that's not all that you do when you come out in public. Women decorate the simanta, part in their hair so that they see that they're married. Men wear tilak so that you can see what sampradaya, spiritual organization, on. People decorate their bodies with other unguents and things like sandalwood pulp and so on. These are no longer the decorations of the present society. And that way, when someone was seen, then you would generally know what religious organization or what religion does he follow, who is he socially, where is he situated in the social class. Things would be known about the person by the way they appear, not that they're just, here's another person. And of course, taking a bath, I mean, who's taking a bath? Even that's a rarity, although bathrooms and bathroom fixtures nowadays are, or at least installing them and getting them, are a really big business, and they're really, really great, look very good, but people are no longer so inclined to be clean. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada would say that we're going to become famous by bathing three times a day. But, of course, we don't just bathe. We decorate our bodies with tilak, because by that, not only do we define who we are, but we know that bathing is one thing, but ultimately you have to connect with the Lord. And part of connecting with the Lord is that you install the names of the Lord on your body, for purification, for protection, and so on. So these are the symptoms mentioned today by Shukadeva Goswami, and we'll continue on tomorrow. Hare Krishna.